Now, the mayor of Kiev has warned residents there that they may need to leave the city if there is a total loss of power. In recent weeks, millions of Ukrainians have intermittently been left without electricity or water as Russian airstrikes target vital infrastructure. The warning comes as a new report from the British military think tank, the Royal United Service Institute, says further Western support is urgently needed if Kyiv is to successfully counter Moscow's updated approach to the air war in Ukraine. Before we came on air, I spoke to Dr. Justin Bronk, who's Senior Research Fellow for Air, Power and Technology at the Institute and author of this latest report. I began by asking him what weapons and material the Ukrainians need.
So what they need is a combination of more of the, particularly more ammunition for the couple of launches for Western surface-to-air missile systems, like the German IRIS-T SLM and the upcoming NASAMS, which is an American-Norwegian system. So a few of those launches already been supplied, but very, very limited ammunition. So they need significantly more ammunition. They are very effective against the cruise missiles. Obviously, they're expensive and ammo is limited, so they can't use them as a defense against the Shahids, the Iranian-supplied loitering munitions, which Russia is using hundreds of. So for those, what they need urgently are additional supplies of MANPADs, so man-portable air defense systems, shoulder-fired anti-aircraft rocket launchers, which do work against the Shahids, but which are being used up in far greater numbers than the Ukrainians currently have, so they need more of those. They also need more self-propelled anti-aircraft guns like the German Gepard with modern radars so that they can, you know, sustainably at a lower cost per shot, as it were, defend their infrastructure and their cities against these Shahids. And in the longer term, ideally, some way of increasing the effectiveness of their older kind of fixed anti-aircraft guns and machine guns. So some form of small radar coupled to a sight and a ballistic computer, for example, that could give you a lead indicator on a Shahid, for example, would be hugely useful. It's obviously a complex problem, but one that urgently requires attention from the West, because, as you said, people in the countryside can burn wood, potentially use wells, but in the cities, the lack of reliable power and drinking water is going to be crucial and very, very difficult for thousands of civilians coming into the winter months.
Yeah, I mean, to be clear about this, the Russian tactic here bears all the hallmarks of an attempt by Moscow to freeze the population of Ukraine, certainly its major cities, into submission.
That's exactly what it is. General Surovikin, who has been recently appointed commander of the Russian operation in Ukraine, was until recently the commander of the Russian aerospace forces. And the reason he's been appointed is to basically implement this strategy of systemically targeting and destroying Ukrainian critical infrastructure to freeze and force the populations out of their homes. And the reason they appointed him was because it was under his command that the VKS, the Russian Aerospace Forces, very effectively and systemically rubblized Syrian cities and basically strangled the Syrian opposition in the civil war. And, you know, unfortunately, very effectively turned the tide of the war in Assad's favor. The Russian Air Force so far has been neutralized largely by Ukrainian air defenses, so mobile surface-to-air missile systems. But those systems also desperately need resupply of ammunition and eventually replacements with Western equivalents, because the very fact that they have successfully held the Russian Air Force at bay so far means that the air defense side of the picture has received far, far less priority in terms of Western aid than the ground piece up to now.
And the material, the supplies that you mention, and you've run through them there, are they available in the kind of quantities that are necessary? Do the Americans, do NATO countries have these supplies ready to go?
So in the case of shoulder-fired MANPADs, there are still, supplies that can be drawn on, but it's not something that the Western countries had prioritized for the last several decades, because we've always had air superiority. And a lot of them were given early on in the conflict. So there is a limited pool there. It will probably be a case of trying to buy stocks from elsewhere in the world and then send them. There's a very limited supply of radar-guided anti-aircraft guns. But again, most of the countries that have them, Germany, Sweden, for example, are not really using them. So it's a case of trying to pressure them to send more of them than they already have, because they are effective. In terms of surface-to-air missile systems, There are some launchers, although not many, again, because the West has had air superiority for so long, but also in terms of ammunition for the existing Russian or Soviet-era surface-to-air missile systems that the Ukrainians have been using up to now, it is a difficult challenge to get them replacement ammunition. So it'll be a case of trying to buy up stocks from around the world, of other countries, from other countries that may be willing to sell them via an intermediary, who also use these systems, as well as potentially trying to set up licensed manufacturer in Western countries in order to give a longer-term supply for those systems, because we won't be able to replace all of them like for like in the foreseeable future with Western equivalents.
And when you say buying supplies, Justin, presumably that would also potentially include buying supplies from neutral countries, which, because they're neutral, aren't prepared to supply directly.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, there's already been quite a lot of cases in the war so far, mostly with ground equipment, where countries that are not willing to directly supply equipment to Ukraine are potentially willing to sell suitable equipment that they have in exchange for Western equivalents to Western countries who can then pass it on to Ukraine. So there is plenty of efforts like that that have been successful up to now. It's a difficult thing politically. But it's something that requires not only the military, but also sustained political level, top level effort. And so yeah, that's part of the reason for publishing this report today, is trying to raise political awareness of the urgent need to refocus on the air defense piece, in addition to all the good work that's been done so far in supplying the Ukrainian army with what it needs.
So if I might just bring this back maybe a bit closer to home here, in relation to a country like Ireland, now we would have limited supplies of military material, but I'm told there are, for example, short-range Giraffe radar systems, there are a small number of Orbis 70 missile launchers, other material as well. Is that the kind of material that could be useful in the situation that the Ukrainians are facing?
Certainly, the Giraffe radars would be very useful. It's clearly with the scale that Ireland has purchased defence equipment in the last couple of decades, it's going to inherently be quite small scale. But I would suggest that there's also other ways that Ireland could be very, very helpful, along with a lot of countries that don't necessarily have a huge amount of military equipment to give. For example, by supplying parts and expertise to help repair the already damaged or destroyed bits of the Ukrainian electricity grid. Which is an equally vital part of keeping the lights on and the heating on over winter for as many Ukrainian civilians as possible, as supplying air defense equipment to protect them is. So, there are plenty of things that countries that don't necessarily have immediately relevant material, military material in large quantities available, can still do to help. Also, of course, funding acquisition or donation efforts by countries that do. This does need to be a kind of team effort, as it were, from across the West. And as you've said before, the stakes here, whether you agree with, continued Ukrainian liberation of the rest of their territories or not, this is a different question. In this case, it's how much can we do to limit the number of Ukrainians who, to put it bluntly, freeze to death over the coming winter.
Dr. Justin Bronk from the Royal United Services Institute in London. After the break, a wholly inadequate scheme, Nursing Homes Ireland, on the government's plan to assist homes with rising energy bills.